Let's get into day one of SEC Media Days. Greg Sankey kicked things off yesterday, actually right behind from where we're sitting right now at the College Football Hall of Fame, and he broached the topic of moving to 9 conference games.
I don't believe there's anyone looking to swap their conference schedule and its opponents with the opponents played by Southeastern Conference teams in our conference schedule, be it 8 or 9. In the SEC, we're not lacking for quality competition among our 16 football teams. But we're going to continue to evaluate whether increasing the number of conference football games is appropriate for us. And as I've said repeatedly, understanding how the CFP will evaluate strength of schedule and even strength of record is critically important in our decision making.
I understand the crowd that wants the 9 games, and I'm not necessarily opposed to 9 games. I'm not sitting here saying, "Oh, I don't ever want them to go to 9 games," because in reality, it doesn't. If it's going to happen, it's going to happen. The thing that irritates me the most is the ignorance that the 9 game crowd spews. They're, for the most part, the same ignorant people that spewed pay the players. There's plenty of money to go around. And then what happens is you just start paying players left and right, and everything becomes a debacle. They don't understand what the health of the game is, how to protect the health of the game, because they don't care about the game. They don't truly love the game. I've heard the argument, well, I mean, who cares how you fund a lower program? Well, that shuts off kids from going to college and playing football. You know that, and that also is at sometimes a farm system for teams like the SEC and the Big Ten and the Big 12, where those players go for a year and they get found that they're really a better player than what people thought coming out of high school, and now they're getting paid to play for whatever your favorite team is. So it needs to be done carefully. I also don't want to see these out of conference rivalry games, which is a point you brought up, and it's also a point that Shane Beamer brought up yesterday, Abe, where he's like, look, I get it, but the fact of the matter is we get to play Clemson at the end of every year, and that is a huge out-of-conference game. Florida plays Florida State. Georgia plays Georgia Tech. Some of these teams, they'll find ways away because they don't need that game anymore.
Yeah, and in the Big Ten, they don't just naturally have that, right? Like Indiana's final season game is a conference game against Purdue. Ohio State is Michigan, and they, you know, they have to build it differently because they don't have the cross-conference rivalries. I think the thing that really jumps out to me about this comment and some of the other comments that we may hear in just a moment is they're not going to rush into a decision from the SEC that they can't then revert and go back from. And what they're waiting for is to fully understand how the College Football Playoff Committee is going to measure the strength of schedule. It's a new metric that's being instituted this year. And until they know whether or not the 9 conference games is going to significantly aid them in getting their team selected or potentially damage them from getting their team selected, they're not going to jump into it. They can always go to 9 when the time is right. If they go to 9, they're not going to be able to come back down to 8, in my opinion. And so I think it's a fascinating measure of patience to determine what path is actually the strongest and best for them to take and then make a decision from there.
Well, and Greg was also talking about, he was looking down the road at the 2026 SEC schedule as well.
We have to make decisions about the 26 season and adjust if we're going to go to 9 games, and there have to be games removed or rescheduled. And if we stay at 8, probably a little bit easier on that part of the logistics.
Yeah, everyone wants to find out if they're going to make that move, and then immediately the move is made. It is so difficult. And you see it. I mean, we all follow guys like Brett McMurphy and some of the newsbreakers in college football. They're working 6, 7, 8 years in advance to schedule these home-and-homes or these one-offs or whatever. As soon as you go to 9 games, you have got to readjust the entire schedule. And like Bo said, maybe that takes away a week 0 or a week 1 game where Tennessee was going to play Virginia Tech. That game gets canned, and now that game's not there. Yeah. Or maybe it takes away a game against a smaller opponent.
Yeah, you saw it with Georgia-Oklahoma when Oklahoma joined the conference, and all the Georgia fans were like, well, why are you doing away with that? Do this, because they've been working on their schedule, and they've been figuring out how they want it to work, and, you know, they had a plan. And I understand where there has been an imbalance to the schedule because Georgia doesn't play Alabama near as much, where teams like Florida play them seemingly every third year, and Georgia goes 5 or 6 years. So I understand that, but that is how these super conferences are going to go. You're never going to play everybody, and it's going to rotate. We just make too much of it, and I agree with you about Sankey and the patience that he runs the conference with. It's why they're the leader in college athletics. You know, I know they haven't made – if they don't win a title this year, it'll be their third straight year, but we're acting like that's some huge drought, right, that they would – it'd be the third straight year this year if they don't win the national title. They also were the best college basketball conference in possibly the last 30 years of the sport, with crowning a national champion and half the teams in the Final Four. So the SEC does things right. That's why I was very disappointed to hear Sankey talk about he was open to expansion in the NCAA tournament, which I think is one of the worst ideas in the last that I've ever heard him come up with.
Well, and I do want to hear one more thing that Greg Sankey was talking about yesterday. I thought it was interesting. You guys were mentioning the different conferences. He commented on the SEC and Big Ten TV viewership.
In fact, I asked for some data this weekend. If you take the consumed viewership hours on linear TV, almost 40% of that viewership was focused on games involving Southeastern Conference universities and teams. Big Ten was next, right around 30%. And that means with those two conferences, just over two-thirds of the total viewership of college football is embedded between the SEC and the Big Ten.
Yeah, I mean, look, you're talking about the two conferences that make up the majority of the top five, the majority of the top ten over the course of the season, and they have the ability to match those teams up, right? Ohio State played Penn State. Oregon played Ohio State in regular season play. And so, sure, those games are going to be up there from a TV perspective. I don't know why we're bringing that up. It's not really a surprise. No one's out here pounding the chest about Big 12 TV ratings. Like, it's not like an argument there. It's hey, you pat yourself on the back all you want, I guess. Like,
I think it's...
He spoke for 50 minutes. Like, cut it down to 30 and cut that comment out. You know what I mean? It's moving along.
What do you expect him to do? He's the spokesman for his conference. He is the salesman of the conference. You know, I mean, he sure, he's going to say that. I think it. There's probably, you know, just like... There is little things that people do and say, and especially when there's a microphone in front of them, that is meant for certain people.
Yeah.
And I do know that he spoke 3 or 4 times last week alone. Is it Tony Petitti?
Petitti
of the Big Ten.
Yeah.
I'm sure that was a rib. That was a shot. That was oh, you think so? Well, I'm gonna say this.
Well, let's get one more comment in that, Abe, you might have more of a reaction to. Brian Kelly was talking about whether the college football playoffs should expand or not.
I think we would push for as many teams as possible if they were evaluated based upon what their schedule looks like. And so that's why both of those questions kind of dovetail together, in that if we're talking about win-loss record, they're not all the same, based upon what conference you're in and who you play. So how many teams that are in this probably have a lot to do with how are we going to select them? What's the selection process going to be? And I think at the end of the day, that selection process will probably be having the end in mind first. And that will then generate the answers to the other questions in terms of how many teams and what's your conference schedule look like in terms of how many you play.
It's a message from the LSU head coach directly to the College Football Playoff Committee that if you're not going to take into account who we play and how we play, but just look at a blank win-loss record, we're not going to continue to schedule tougher, increasingly tougher games, which in turn is going to mean you're not going to go to 9 conference games. It is a message to say you've got a 1-year sample size this year with this new strength of schedule metric that's supposed to be involved to show us that playing a more or the most difficult schedule possible is going to benefit, not hurt our chances to get in. And if it goes to 16, we'll take a look at that. That's a message to the committee.
I don't wholeheartedly believe, though, that they've been doing that. That are not taking that into account. I think, I mean.
It's the argument for South Carolina, Alabama out, SMU in, right?
Yeah, but Alabama out. No,
I agree.
The Alabama thing is. The South Carolina one you have a slight argument with, but you know, I think you need to understand you can't be getting blown out by teams
at home. Like, yeah, you can't look non-competitive at home in ugly losses.
I'm pretty sure South Carolina looked pretty non-competitive in one of their losses, and I can't remember which one. I thought it was the Alabama one, but maybe I'm wrong. I know the LSU game they should have won. Maybe if not for one of the worst rough in the passer penalties on, but I think it was a touchy call, and it probably was a dumb, and it was definitely a dumb move as well. That one, it could go either way, but you can't be. Alabama got blown out in Norman by a very average.
Yeah.
Let's put it this way: a quarterbackless Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Because they were good in other places, they just didn't have a quarterback. So
South Carolina was non-competitive at home against a top 15 Ole Miss squad.
It was Ole Miss. That's the one it was. Okay. Yeah. And so you just can't. Don't get blown out, right? I mean, you know, that's the thing for me. You can't be non-competitive in games if you want to make a college football playoff, especially with three losses.
Well, and we're just scratching the surface on everything that did happen at SEC Media Days yesterday. We'll continue to reveal everything else, but coming up, we've got the lineup for the All-Star game tonight, and we've got my Allie Mack drop. We've got a game of the Price is Right, All-Star Auction Edition. That is next with the Morning Shift. We are live from SEC Media Days from the College Football Hall of Fame on Sports Radio. 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app.